You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last Tuesday, Broadcasting Minister Paul Goldsmith announced the government would progress with the former Labor government's Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill with amendments to, quote, support our local media companies to earn revenue for the news they produce. This announcement saw ACT invoke the agree-to-disagree provision of their coalition agreement by opposing the bill. I spoke to the ACT Party's Cameron Luxton about why the party opposes this bill and what agreeing to disagree means for the coalition's relationships. Additionally, I asked Cameron about last week's announcements about changes to housing policy by flooding the country with new homes, where Housing Minister Chris Bishop announced six key changes. These include freeing up land for development, removing unnecessary planning barriers, and relaxing standards. Lastly, I asked Cameron about his members' bill, the Easter Trading Bill, which has been drawn from the ballot. The bill would liberalise Easter trading laws, allowing New Zealanders who want to trade over Easter to do so. Here is their interview. So ACT has invoked the agree-to-disagree provisions of its coalition agreement and said it will oppose the Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill. This bill will enable news publishers to negotiate on more equal terms with digital platforms, ensuring that the negotiations are fairly compensated for the value of their news content that is made available by digital platforms online. ACT leader David Seymour said the bill was, quote, a failed Labor inheritance our partners just can't shrug off, end quote. In addition to that, could you firstly elaborate on why ACT opposes this bill?
Yeah, so ACT believes in good public policy, and you know sometimes we're in a coalition, we have to work together to find the best outcome. But in this scenario, there just wasn't a good outcome coming from as it's being called the Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill. Now it's not exactly what it was laid out in that little intro there. It doesn't create it's not about an equal footing. It's about forcing two parties to come to an agreement when it's not necessarily. Obvious that there needs to be an agreement made. So, you know, legacy, mainstream, whatever you want to call it, old media, needs to adapt with the times, and just forcing the people who are using who have a platform to pay to somebody else a fee isn't actually a fair use. When old media is getting plenty of use out of sharing their information online, so this is a win-win situation as it currently is, and to try and force people to a bargaining table with a big stick at the other end of it is not a good policy outcome. So we're opposing it based on having good policy that solves a problem. This will do neither.
And so the past week has seen both of National's governing partners, ACT and New Zealand First, invoked the agree-to-disagree provisions of their coalition agreements. I wanted to ask about what happens when coalition partners agree to disagree. I mean, in the case of ACT ruling out supporting the Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill, the National League government will need the support of parties outside of the coalition to pass the law. But what does this mean for ACT's relationship to National and New Zealand First? Is disagreeing on policies destabilising?
No, it means our relationship is healthy and mature. You know, it's part of the coalition agreement that, you know, we're different parties. We're going to have disagreements. But when you have an agree to disagree clause that's set out in the coalition agreement to make sure that our relationship can remain strong, this is a sign of a healthy MMP democracy with a healthy government that respects each other and our views, being from three different parties. So, as you say, the Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill, ACT will not be supporting. And so our coalition partners will look across the aisle to find support. And considering it was a Labor Party policy, which National originally opposed, now that they've picked it up, we could look to see Labor possibly support it. But this is just a sign of a mature government. So I think it's a good thing to be able to have an agree to disagree clause, because it makes sure that people have a confidence in their government, and a government has a mechanism to resolve differences in a way that maintains the faith and confidence in a government's standing continuing.
All right, moving on. Housing Minister Chris Bishop's moves to flood the country with new homes to address our housing crisis have been criticised over the past week. Of the six major changes he announced, some include getting rid of minimum floor areas and balcony requirements for apartments and rules to allow cities to expand outwards at the fringes. ACT welcomed these announcements, saying, quote, sanity has returned to housing policy only after encouragement from ACT. But do you think the potential quality of these homes are of a concern here without these minimum standards?
Well, not at all. We still have I myself am a licensed building practitioner, so that's a qualified builder who builds houses, and we have to build to the Building Act and the Building Code. So there will still be quality, and there will still be minimum standards, and our Building Code is a robust set of clauses which make sure that we have healthy homes. What's happening with this minimum floor size and balconies is that some of these provisions were just too onerous for what people actually want to live in. You know, people want to live in affordable accommodation close to to transport networks, and a lot of these rules were getting in the way of enabling that to happen. So, you know, I think having more houses is a good thing. I think most New Zealanders expect to have a choice and a range of homes to live in, and the more we can enable builders and developers to create these houses, the more choice there will be for New Zealanders to live in a way that they choose to live. And, I mean, one of the major issues that we have in our country is the unaffordability of housing. It underlies a lot of our social problems. Transient people having to move around is undermining kids' education. Health can be impacted. Community resilience, actually feeling like you're part of a community. It's all impacted when we have a shortage of housing, which leads to expensive housing. And we need to get on top of this. I'm incredibly proud to be part of a government that's actually doing something to address land supply. On top of what we're doing around the changes in the Building Act, which is what happens when you put stuff on top of the land that you have now made available for development, you know, these things are going to make a bigger and wider choice for New Zealanders to choose where they can live and how they can live. And this will lead to a society which... It will start on the road to fixing some of the problems that our society has with poor education outcomes, poor health outcomes. New Zealanders seeing opportunities across the Tasman because they don't see them here. Once you factor in the cost of housing, you know, it is too much in New Zealand, and this has been a problem for a long time, and this government's finally getting on with doing something about it.
Right, and Bishop said the changes would free up land for development and remove unnecessary planning barriers to make it easier to build new homes. What are these unnecessary planning barriers that are going to be removed? Will there still be planning assessments that will ensure homes are built on resilient land?
So there will still be ability for councils to say that they... You know, this piece of land has got historic value, or it can't be built on, or this piece of land has got flooding issues, of course. But what they will also have to do, if they haven't signed up to the medium density residential housing yet, and they choose to use other options, then they will have to find land elsewhere that will be made ready for development. Because one of the big problems that we've had, and I live in Tauranga, and Tauranga has been a growing city for a long time, opening up land has been a massive issue. And look, it's not just the zoning. I mean, it sounds easy just to sign a piece of paper to say, oh, this is now zoned for housing, whereas, you know, whatever it was before, sand dunes or hills, whatever it was before, we're going to create a housing. That sounds easy. The real difficulty is getting infrastructure in the ground, getting infrastructure on the ground. So transport, three waters, the sewer plant at the end of the line. That is the tricky stuff. And so, you know, having a one-size-fits-all medium-density residential housing pushed on councils was something that ACT opposed, because it meant that infrastructure was going to be stretched down the end of cul-de-sacs and in areas that weren't really designed for high-intensity living. But through ACT's influence on the government, we've now made that a voluntary thing for both Tier 1 and 2 councils to get a part of. And it means that planning can be done and houses can be built and development can happen in places that are most suitable for it, where people want to live, where they can afford to put infrastructure in the ground, and where it can be paid for in new and innovative ways. So I think this is another great decision that's been made by this government, and that's a core part of it. So we're just getting wins on the board here.
And I wanted to ask you about the Easter Trading Bill, which is your members' bill. Cool. Calling for the liberalisation of Easter trading laws, the bill would allow New Zealanders who want to trade over Easter to do so. Would you be able to first elaborate on why you believe Easter trading laws need a reform, just briefly?
Yeah, I mean, every year we have this conversation. Every year New Zealanders, you know, from Wanaka all the way through Taupo, Tauranga, say, why is it that this shop is closed, or I've gone to go on holiday here and they can't open, and this one down the road is open, but this hospitality or this retail isn't. People go, when they finally find a hospitality that is open, you know, there's restrictions around how you can and can't enjoy yourself. You have to have a substantial meal. You have to be owned. You can't be there for more than 2 hours. It's just a complicated mess. And every year we go through this conversation. So I think the time has now come. We've had polling has been done. Independent polling has been done to say that 64% of New Zealanders, and importantly, a majority of New Zealanders across all political parties, feel like it is time to liberalise these laws. So it's an issue because it impacts on towns such as, I just mentioned, Wanaka, where you have tens of thousands of people turn up for over Easter weekend. And the laws mean that the supermarkets have to be shut. Well, actually, this is not helpful. There is another part of this as well. This is just bad lawmaking, which is that there has been a provision that some towns have been able to have their own local liberalised Easter trading laws. But they had to be reviewed every 5 years, and half a dozen councils didn't even notice that their laws had lapsed. These liberalised regulations had actually lapsed. So it just goes to prove that it's a shambles of a policy. It makes New Zealanders and our visitors' lives more difficult and makes it harder to enjoy yourself over Easter. People who want to work can't work. People who would rather be doing 2 days instead of one or going away with their family will now have that choice, because if we're going to do this, we need to do it properly. Then that is, if we're going to liberalise the Easter trading rules and remove the restrictions on trade, we've got to protect workers' rights. And so what my bill would do is enable the current protections which apply to Easter Sunday, which means if you do not want to work, you do not have to work, and you don't have to give a reason for that. And it would increase that to include Good Friday, so that you can say without justification, no thanks, I don't want to work this day, and you don't need to be asked for a reason why. So it's a win-win-win across the board. Customers are winning, workers and employees are winning, and businesses who choose to open are winning because they will be free to do so. I think this is a great policy, and as you say, it's been drawn from the tin. It's a members' bill with a conscience vote, so each MP in the House has a chance to search their own conscience, make up their mind for themselves, represent themselves and their communities, and it's not a whipped vote, so each individual MP has to make that choice.
Right, and is this bill then an effort to separate church and religion from the state?
Not at all. I mean, church and religion, church and state in New Zealand are already separate. I think what this is doing is saying if a religious weekend of the Easter weekend is important to you, please continue to use it how you have always done. Go to church on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and if that's what you want to do, feel free. And if you are someone who another day of the year is more important to you, so you've got, as New Zealand is a multi-ethnic liberal democracy, if there's another day in the calendar that's important to you, please use your day in lieu to go and enjoy the day how you feel fit. And if you want to go away with your family for 4 days, feel free to do that too, because you know, if that's how I enjoy spending my time, is with my family over a long weekend.
That was ACT MP Cameron Luxton speaking to me about the Fair Digital News Bargaining Bill, agreeing to disagree in the coalition, changes to housing policy and the Easter Trading Bill.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.